This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The Natty Seltzer Hotline is where we get the hottest spiked seltzer on the market in two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach. We also get hot takes from our buddy Clay Travis, Outkick, and FS1 and Fox Sports. Clay, you've been on the front burner with this Adam Silver story. Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey showed support for protesters in Hong Kong. China now, their state television, is taking off preseason games. What should Adam Silver and the NBA be doing about this from communist China?
Well, I just don't even see this as a particularly difficult position. And I think the NBA has painted itself into a corner here. For people out there who haven't been paying attention, the NBA has branded itself as a woke league. And if you're not familiar with what the term woke means, it means you're going to be far left, perpetually offended by everything, taking action, being responsive to social media. So a couple of things that the NBA has done in recent history, they banned the use of the word owner because they decided that it was racially insensitive. Really. I mean, this is an NBA official decision, and they replaced it with the word governor, which certainly in the state of Alabama has has more racist connotations in recent history than the word owner does. So we could talk about how absurd that is on many different levels. But George Wallace, who was a governor, stood in the schoolhouse doors much more recently than there was slavery in the United States. So this is an absurd, ridiculous decision that I think the vast majority of people, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, men, women, every possible identity that you want to define, finds to be utterly ridiculous, because most people understand there's a difference between owning a team and owning the people who play on the team, you know, which is not the case, all right? So that is ridiculous. The NBA also decided, because of this transgender bathroom debate that was going on in North Carolina, that they were going to be uber woke and they weren't going to play their all-star game in North Carolina. And again, this is not a major issue that exists in this country. I mean, at least not in my entire life have I ever seen people standing outside of bathrooms in public places saying, no, you can't go in there. You look like a girl. You look like a boy. Like, we're going to do Crocodile Dundee style genital checks here. Like, this is a non-issue, right? But the NBA decides to move their all-star game. So this all blew up because Daryl Morey, who is a GM of the Houston Rockets, tweeted that he supported democracy in China via the protesters in Hong Kong. I don't think it's particularly problematic or difficult for a league to be like, you know what, we believe in democracy. I think there are very few things that unite every single politician in America today, but the idea that every person in the world should have the same right to vote for their elected leaders as we do in a democratic republic like the United States is something that we believe helps the overall world if other places endorse and approve of the democratic process. So the fact that the NBA has not been willing to come out and say, yes, we support democracy around the globe, to me just points out their hypocrisy here. When they are in the United States and there's no danger whatsoever to whatever political positions they embrace, and they can be praised by the media and everybody can give them golf claps and talk about how woke and what great social justice warriors they are, then people will applaud them, right? And they'll take those stances. But as soon as you actually start to impact their money, they will shut up and dribble and take the money from the Chinese communistic government. So what is, I think, very valid now is people are starting to ask questions of Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, LeBron James, all of these super woke NBA players, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, all these super woke team coaches, players, and executives, wait a minute, why are you unwilling to take a stand on democracy, which is not that complicated of an issue, but you're willing to take a stand on transgender bathroom bills in the United States and the word owner? Why is that? And I think the NBA is being outed as a hypocritical organization that really only speaks out when there's no risk to their business and shuts up when much worse transgressions of human rights and trampling on basic rights of people around the globe occur like is occurring in China right now.
Well, I love the bell that you're ringing on this. I think you're doing a great job with it, and hopefully it will continue to build and build and build, because I don't get some of the outspoken voices of the NBA like Popovich and LeBron and how they take shots. You know, I don't care what your political, individual political views are, but to continue to take shots at our president and then you can't back up democracy, it makes zero sense. And with all that said, how long before Trump jumps on this?
Well, I think the issue with Trump, certainly, and I don't know. So let me just say this. It's nonpartisan so far, whether you are an Elizabeth Warren supporter or a Ted Cruz supporter or Marco Rubio. Like, I have to say, the NBA has bungled this so badly that they have managed to unite politicians who are Republicans and Democrats, regardless of the differences they might have in other political arenas. They've all been lining up on the left and on the right to condemn the way the NBA has responded here. Trump is in the middle of trying to negotiate this China deal. So I don't know if he wants to step into this fray, to be honest, because he's already got all his other battles going on with China. And look, I think there are a lot of reasons why you cannot like Trump, why you cannot like the president. You know, like, you don't have to agree on everything. That's the great aspect of a democracy. And if we did agree on everything, we'd have a totalitarian regime where, you know, Saddam Hussein used to go out and get 100% of the Iraqi vote. We know how that went. But look, he's been as tough on China as any president has in the last 40 years. So I think that's probably, you know, his aspect on things is like, I'm fighting them on so many different fronts right now. Do I really want to get involved in the NBA aspect of this? You know, I think there's probably so many other things they're battling on that are more significant. But to me, this is an easy call for the NBA. I mean, if the NBA had any spine or their leadership had any gumption or any testicular fortitude, they would turn and leave the NBA. The NBA would leave China, and they would say, look, we believe in open democratic governments. And if you're not going to allow us to espouse those views, and if you're going to make us apologize for them, then we don't need to do business with you.
It feels like low-hanging fruit, but I was going to ask Clay about the Tennessee-Georgia game. Is that all right?
Transitioning from geopolitical stalemates, yeah, and massive issues. Look,
yeah, you were there. I just
tell us, is Tennessee going to beat Mississippi State this week?
Yeah.
To me, this is a circle the wagons game for Jeremy Pruitt. I thought Tennessee, I don't know if you guys watched the game, I thought first 20 minutes, Tennessee played really, really well.
Maybe the best they've looked in the Pruitt era other than the Auburn win last year.
Yeah, I think, and even in the Auburn win, there was some smoke and mirrors right there. There was a couple of just deep balls, 50-50, that went Tennessee's way and everything else. But I thought across the board, the first 20 minutes against Georgia is about as good as Tennessee was capable of playing. They were up 14-10 on Georgia, you know, 5 minutes into the second quarter or so. And really, until the final 2 or 3 minutes of the half, Tennessee played Georgia pretty evenly. And then obviously in the second half, late in the first half, they started to run out of horses there. To me, the Mississippi State game is massively important for Jeremy Pruitt, because if he beats Mississippi State, then look, Alabama's out of the question. We're not worried about Alabama if you're Tennessee. Just hope you don't get that many guys injured. A young team starting a true freshman quarterback who I thought played pretty well. But when you look ahead for the second half of the season, if you can beat Mississippi State, South Carolina is beatable. It's games in Knoxville. Vanderbilt is certainly beatable. Game is in Knoxville. UAB should be beatable. Game is in Knoxville. Missouri, I think, is a lot better maybe than a lot of people have realized. I don't think Tennessee's good enough as long as Kelly Bryant is healthy to beat Missouri. And then I would say Tennessee certainly good enough to beat Kentucky. So the reason why I just laid out the final five games, if you're sitting at 2-6 at the halfway point, there's a chance you could get to 6-6 or equal last year's record of 5-7 without needing to totally reacquaint or readjust the outcome of the season. If you lose to Mississippi State, then I think the question becomes, okay, how bad does this get? The program has never been worse than 4-8 in the history of Tennessee football. Is it possible that they could be worse than 4-8? I think certainly if you lose to Mississippi State, that argument gets opened up.
I thought the best transition for Brown was to ask you if, democratically, Hong Kong elected Greg Schiano, would you have allowed it to stand?
That would have been an incredible bridge if he had pulled that off.
I'm not as good as Dunaway, though. Clay, thank you for the time. Have a great week.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Follow the show on Instagram @JocksRoundtable.